Today we're in part five of a series, and I think we'll be doing one more in this series, Walking in Love, based on the little book of 1 John. We've talked about God's love for us, and we've talked about our love for Him, and today we're going to talk about our love for each other. We do have a responsive reading, and so you'll find that on the tan-colored sheet. Let's get that and stand together in honor of God's Word. I'll start out with the light print, ask you to read the dark print, and join you on that last verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today that You have bound us together in one body through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and You have poured out Your love in us, and You have given us the command to truly, fully love one another in the meaning of Your Word, which is agape love, the love that You have shown us in Christ, that we would now, and that He has shown to us, that we would now show to one another, and that it would be fervent, and that it would be continual, and that it would be constant, and that it would be the witness to the world that we really are born of You, and that we really are Your children. And I know that all of us can grow in this area. But thank You, Lord, for whatever level we have attained in truly loving one another because of Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that evermore that might be the ruling theme in our lives, to love You with all our hearts and to love each other as Christ loved us. Now take Your word and speak to us in whatever part we need most. We pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I think our mic is just a little bit louder than it needs to be. So if the sound room could tone that down just a little, that's good. Can you all still hear me all right? Okay. So one of the biggest themes in 1 John is love. Another theme is truth and error, truth versus falsehood. And that's what we're going to look at in more detail in our next message. But he spends an awful lot of time on this. And we've talked about, so far, God's love for us, and then our love for God, and then today, our love for each other. And I have a few what I call summary verses. Like, if you had to pick one verse that kind of summarizes the thought and what John had to say about it, these are the verses that I would pick. And so, on the subject of God's love for us, and by the way, you'll find these if you go to www.sncccc.net. You can pull up these expanded notes, and these will be there. But 1 John 4:19, I think, 4:10, best summarizes the one about God's love for us. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And in Romans, it says, I think it's 5:8, that God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus Himself said, as was read or quoted earlier, greater love has no man than this, than that He would lay down His life for His friends. So God showed us His ultimate love through the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. And we need look no further than that if we want to see the greatest and most comprehensive and meaningful expression of God's love to us. Then on the one of our love for God, one little verse I think best summarizes it. 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. It's not because we took the initiative. It's because He took the initiative. And we love Him because we are responding to His love shown to us at Calvary. And then on the subject of our love for each other, which we'll be talking about today, two verses come to mind. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. So am I really saved? Do I really love my brothers? 1 John 4:21. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. These two come as a package, and these two cannot be separated, the one from the other. And someone might say, well, I know somebody that just really, really loves the Lord, but there's just certain people that they don't have good feelings toward. Well, they don't love the Lord all that much. Because if they really did, then they would be loving their brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, does that include, indeed, some who may not be as easy to love as others? Oh, yeah, it includes them. But you see, this is a supernatural love. This isn't natural love we're talking about here. We're talking about something that supersedes all that and is brought about through salvation and the new birth. So let's look real quick at the basis of our love for each other. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that in a general way. I mean as brothers and sisters in Christ. When I look at you as my brother in Christ, and you look at me as your brother in Christ, that is a love that is different from mother, father, parent, child, parent, brother, sister, spouse, or any such thing as that. This is a different love. This love is literally poured out in our hearts by God at the time of salvation so that it is a bond. Didn't we sing a while ago? Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. And that is addressing the supernatural love that God is putting in our hearts for all of His blood-bought, blood-washed saints. Now, we love everybody, but you can't have that bond with an unsaved person because they don't know Jesus, so you're not on the same wavelength. You can love them, but you can't have that bond that John is talking about in his book. So when he's talking about loving your brother, he means your brother in Christ. And he means that spatial bond that supersedes every other bond that there is. Because it is God's love at work in us. It is supernatural. It is not of the natural realm. All right. What is the basis of our love for each other? A. God's redeeming love and His work of regeneration in our lives. God's redeeming love and His work of regeneration in our lives. I can't love you as my brother in Christ until I'm truly born again, until I'm truly changed, until regeneration is just a long word that means to be born again. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So in view of the love that Jesus has shown me, I am now asked to reflect that same love that He had for me. Has anyone ever loved you like Jesus? There was a song that was popular when I was a little boy. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There is nobody that loves you like Jesus loves you. And so it is the basis of that love that I now say, Lord, the same love with which You loved me. He says, and how did He show me His love? By laying down His life for me. And then He says, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So this love is based on His love for us and on redeeming love and His work of regeneration in our lives. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, which means that everybody that doesn't believe He's the Christ is not born of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now, that child there can be referring to Jesus, or it can be referring to anyone who is his child by the new birth. I want to give it both meanings. Because certainly, if you take this book in context, because he says if we don't love Jesus, then we don't really love the Father either. And if we don't have Jesus, we don't have the Father either. So whoever loves Him loves his child. It is at the moment of new birth, I become a new creation. Isn't that what the Bible says? If any man be in Christ, he is what? a new creature, a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all have become new. And part of the package that I get is the supernatural love for my brother and for my sister. That is part of it. So it just comes with becoming part of the family. We did sing that song about, I'm so glad I'm a part of the what? How did I become a part of the family of God? By being born again. I may be in church, but if I'm not born again, I'm not part of the family of God. I'm sorry. I'm a visitor. Maybe one day I will be, but I'm not right now. There's one way to become into the family of God, and that's by the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. So, those who are born of that same seed love one another. They can't help but love one another because they've been born of that same seed. And God's love, God's supernatural love, has now been planted in their heart. That wasn't there before. We had natural love before for people we liked and people we were related to and stuff, but we didn't have that love. So it is the very nature of anyone who is born of God themselves to love anybody else that is born of God. And you can go to other countries, and I hear the stories over and over, you just kind of know. Even if you can't speak their language, a lot of times you pick up, don't you, Kevin? You pick up on the fact they're a Christian. And that's what we're talking about. So the basis of it is God's redeeming love and His work of regeneration in our lives. Secondly, our shared identity in Christ through the new birth. Because that's what makes us brothers and sisters in the first place. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, we share all the same things. We share. Families share stuff, you know? Everybody in my house, we get to share the same stuff. Other people don't get to share that stuff. And there's stuff we share. And that's part of it. And C, Christ's explicit command to us to love one another. And that's the other basis of our love for one another. 1 John 3, 11 and 23. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And this is His command. To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now we know that Jesus said that the two greatest commandments were what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your what? Neighbor as yourself. But that is not the command that Jesus gave His disciples on the night that He was betrayed before Judas arrived on the scene. That command was, as I have loved you, that you would love one another. And He said, this is a new commandment. It wasn't possible before, but in the supernatural new birth, it is possible. And not only is it possible, but it's a command. So I'm commanding you to love each other just like I've loved you. Now talk about setting the bar high. That's as high as you can set it. But His command to us is the basis, is another basis for our love for each other. Now let's go on to number two, application. Oh yeah. We could spend some time on some of these. Number two, the application. In other words, how is this put into action, this love for each other? These are just some of the ways that I found, mostly in 1 John, and I did go outside of 1 John for a couple of them. Number one, care and concern for each other. That's pretty basic. And this church has a lot of care and has a lot of concern for each other. We can always grow in that area. But I've heard people say, in our church, people don't really care for each other that much, you know. They meet on Sunday mornings, but they're not really a family in that way, and they don't really, you know, somebody's sick or something. They don't really, you know, they don't visit. They don't take a covered dish over there. They don't do stuff like that. And I thank the Lord that in this church there is a whole lot of that that goes on. And it is one of the demonstrations of our love. After all, God's love is a love of action, not just warm, fuzzy feelings. So care and concern for each other. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers. So we know we're born again because His love's in our heart, driving us toward love for our brother and sister. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. So when we have that love and concern for each other, it's an evidence that God is at work in our lives. Number two, now we get right down to the practical. B, practical help in time of need. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? So if we don't help our brother out when we're able to, in practical ways, with practical needs, how can we really say that God's love is living and dwelling in us? The old saying was, actions speak louder than words. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. James said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Same thing could be said of love. Show me your love without any works, and I'll show you my love by my works. We're not trying to earn anything, but at this point it's just an expression of God's love for us, and we're passing it on. I read in a book years ago, what was the name of that book? It was based on the Gospel of John. And in there it told the story of this barber that witnessed to all of his customers about Jesus. And there was this one guy who was kind of, you know, he had been witnessing to him, and he came back, hadn't been in, but he was witnessing to him again, and he said, and they kind of were getting edgy with each other, and the barber said, well, the only reason I'm telling you this is because I love you. Yeah, he said, you love me, all right. He said, I was in the hospital 3 weeks, and I never saw you over there. See, willingness to sacrifice for each other. I've told this story. Honey, I love you so much, I'd climb any mountain, cross any desert, swim any sea. Then as he's going home, honey, I'll see you tomorrow night if it doesn't rain. Our love, you know, they say words are cheap. So are we willing to sacrifice for each other? God sacrificed for us, and that's how He showed us His love. He sacrificed for us because we couldn't save ourselves, and somebody had to die. He said, I'll give my best, and I'll send him, and I'll have him die in your place. You're the guilty one. I'm going to take your guilt, put it on my son, and I'm going to have him die. That's sacrifice. For Jesus to actually leave heaven and come down to the restrictions of this world, number one, and the sinfulness of this world, number two, that was a great sacrifice. And of course, to pour out His life's blood, I would say that was a great sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us. Why? Since God so loved us. In view of that, we also ought to love one another. D, maintaining a godly example for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Excuse me. No cause of stumbling in us. And this is one of the best ways we can love our brothers and our sisters. And when we're a poor example to our brothers and sisters, we're not loving them the way that we ought to love them. In fact, we're putting a stumbling block in front of them. Now, how many of us have ever said, "But Mom, but Dad, my friends are doing it"? Huh? So, when we're not doing the right thing, we're giving a poor example, we are becoming an occasion for our brother and our sister to stumble. Whoever loves his brother, 1 John 2:10, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Now, that's not what the original Greek says. The original Greek says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. It doesn't say that he won't stumble. It says there's nothing in him to make the other person stumble. And I read about 12 or 13 different English versions, and they split almost down the middle. Some think it's talking about the person, and others believe that it's talking about the other person. There's nothing in them, no cause of stumbling in them. Is there anything in me that is going to make somebody else stumble? And if there is, I'm not loving my brother and sister like I should. Because I'm not being a good example to them. In fact, I'm being an example so that they may fall too. They may fall into the same kind of pattern that I do. They may use my actions to justify the wrong thing in their own lives or to someone else. So maintaining a godly example, that's a big, big part of loving our brothers and our sisters. The man who says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. So a good example goes a long ways. E, frequent and consistent encouragement in the things of the Lord. Now that one's from Ephesians. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And every time we encourage one another, have you ever needed encouragement? You probably have. I know I have. And we probably all do. And do you appreciate that encouragement when it comes? Have you ever been like almost on the edge, and then that little word or whatever of encouragement came, and it just turned you around and changed your whole attitude and maybe even your whole direction? So that is one of the ways that we show our love for each other. He died for us, Jesus, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4-11. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider, we were talking about this one out front this morning as Carolyn Wynn was coming in. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. In the King James it says provoke one another. We were talking about stirring things up. Stir up what? Love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's a big reason why we gather on Sunday morning, and that is for the encouragement, that we may encourage one another, and that we may be encouraged through God's Word. That's one of the ways we love. F, willingness to forgive. Now, that one's not emphasized in 1 John, but it is in all the rest of the New Testament. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And one of the big stumbling blocks to true unrestricted Christian love is our unwillingness to forgive. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. You know, a lot of times, say, oh man, I mean, I'm just about reaching my limit, you know. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How did the Lord forgive you? Totally and completely. No strings attached. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, there are a few things that will enhance the Lord's work of love in our lives as Christians, and it will fuel our love for each other. So let's take a quick look at those. A, the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit. That's how I know it's a supernatural thing. That's how I know it's not the same thing as just the natural love that God's given me for people around me and my parents and people like that. It's the Holy Spirit. This is the love of the Holy Spirit coming and taking residence inside of us, whom He has given us. So, through the Holy Spirit, you are then enabled to love where you normally wouldn't be able to do it. You now have the capacity. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has moved in and He'll do the loving for you. All you got to do is let Him. Oh, how many have read of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit. Here it is. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. That's the first one. So it's fueled by the Holy Spirit. To put it another way, if the Holy Spirit isn't really, really active in my heart and in my life every day, then I'm probably going to fall short in this category of loving my brother as I should. Because the Holy Spirit, He is going to do that through me. Paul writing to the Colossians. All over the world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Capital S. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. 1 John 4:11 to 13. And then the last, B. Second thing that will fuel our love for one another. Intimacy with Christ. Here's what Jesus prays in the garden before He's arrested. My prayer is not for them alone, meaning my 12 disciples that I've loved these 3.5 years. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And so, the closer we get to Him, later He says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them. So intimacy with Christ, how is that personal time with the Lord doing? Have you ever noticed that there's a direct correlation between the amount of personal time you have with the Lord for real and how you relate to the people in your life? Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you haven't noticed it, but there is. If I spend some time with the Lord in the morning and I say, "Now, Lord, guide me, direct me today, make me a blessing, use me, work in me," that time with the Lord, it just sets the day and it will change how I relate to people around me during that day. So I can't have true intimacy with my brother at the spiritual level if I'm not intimate with Christ. Because one makes the other possible. And then lastly, and this is related, Christian fellowship. And that is just simply sharing the good things of God together. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So if we want to be an effective witness to the world, and if we want the Lord to be working through us in such a way that even the world can see it, one of the most important parts and components of that is to truly love one another. Because the world is watching. And even though the world may not believe, most of them can spot a phony a mile away. And a lot of the people that aren't in church today aren't in church today, not because they don't believe at some level, but because they've seen how Christians don't really love one another. Now, that doesn't fully justify them. And someday they're going to have to give account to the Lord for their unbelief. But nonetheless, the more genuine love that the world sees in us for one another as God's people, the more they're going to be attracted to the message of the gospel. And the better and truer and more effective our witness is going to be for Him. Because again, if I can't love my brother sitting next to me in the pew, how am I going to love my enemy? And how am I going to really properly love those who don't know the Lord? I'm out here saying to them, "You need the Lord, you need to be saved." And I can't even relate to my brother next to me in the pew. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the way that you have loved us. And I just have to think that the more we just dwell on that, and the more we understand how much you've loved us in sending your Son to deliver Himself for us, and all that you've given us in Him, and all of that, Lord, it's going to be a small price to pay to love our brother. And Lord, I pray that we would be known, that the world would know that we are Christians by our love, and that our love for each other would be like your word says, real, true, sincere, fervent. As Harvey has said, "My blood boils," and he meant that in a good way, fervent. Meaning coming from that word which means hot and boiling. Lord, you said that our love for each other should be fervent. And so I just pray, Lord, that as we love you and know that you have loved us, Lord, we pray that down here on this level, we would truly be loving one another. I know we won't always see eye to eye on everything. And I know that sometimes, in spite of ourselves, we're going to hurt somebody in some way. But when that happens, Lord, help us to forgive. Help us to forgive as you have forgiven us, and realize this is my brother in Christ. They're on the same journey I'm on. you know, we're learning together, and Lord, to just go on and let love predominate. Because wherever love is the dominant thing, there is peace, there is unity, and there is harmony. And in the end, there's joy. We thank you, Lord. Pour out your love in our hearts, we pray, and make us true witnesses for Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.